dramatically changed. Number four, the breakdown of marriage and family alienation. And let me just say one thing that I can't take time to explain. Witchcraft is homebreaker number one. Wherever that power comes to work in a family, it will ultimately break up the family. Number five, continuing financial insufficiency, especially where the income appears sufficient. You know, there are lots of people who always have enough money, but it's never enough. You know that? You might be one of them. Well, you begin to check. I got a letter from a lady in the United States a couple of years ago. She said, "I think my husband's family is under a curse." She'd heard my teaching. So I wrote back and said, "Tell me why you think your husband's family is under a curse." And this was the answer I got. She said, "Well, my husband's estate runs into hundreds of millions of dollars, and our annual income is $1 million, and we never have enough money." I said, "I'm convinced." That's so characteristic, see. If there's a curse over your life, nothing ever really works. And you can be highly educated and qualified to succeed, but you never quite break through to success. Number six, accident prone. And when I meet that, I really don't look any further. You see, that is a statistically diagnosable condition. If you are accident prone, an insurance company will put up your insurance premium, see, simply on that basis. And number seven, a history of suicides or unnatural deaths. And I hope I can say this without being offensive, but if you want to look at a very conspicuous family that bears all the marks of a family curse, it's the Kennedy family in America. Now, we come to the punchline, the practical. How to pass from curse to blessing. First of all, you have to understand full provision has already been made through the death of Jesus on the cross. That's the way that God has made provision for every human need, including this one. If you look in Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." That, in order that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Notice the exchange. The death of Jesus on the cross, the atonement, was an exchange in which all the evil due to us came upon Christ, that all the good due to him might be made available to us, whatever aspect you look at it. He was wounded that we might be healed. He died that we might have life. He was made sin that we might be made righteousness. He was rejected that we might be accepted. And here, he was made a curse that we might enter into the blessing. That's the basis of God's provision for the problem that I've been speaking about tonight. And you'll notice that in that verse 13, the word curse occurs three times. Christ has redeemed us from the curse, having become a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." Brothers and sisters, if a curse is so real that Christ had to be made a curse on the cross for us, then don't entertain the thought that there's no reality in a curse. God wouldn't have made provision at such cost for our deliverance from a curse if there was nothing to be delivered from. You understand? But it took the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus Christ to provide deliverance from the curse. So that's the basis of deliverance. All our deliverance has to be based on faith in what Christ has done for us on the cross. Just as we are made righteous because he was made sinful, so we can receive the blessing because he was made the curse. You see, the law of Moses said in Deuteronomy 21:23, anyone who's hung on a tree becomes a curse. So every Jew who knew the law of Moses, when they saw Jesus hanging on the cross, they knew that he had been made a curse. Thank God the reason why he was made a curse was that we might be delivered from the curse. You see that? Now, you need to bear in mind that after you've been delivered, you still have to go on meeting the conditions, which are what? Listening to God's voice and doing what He says. Very simple. And that's in the New Testament. Jesus said in John 10, verse 27, "My sheep hear My voice, and they follow Me." So that's the prescription for blessing. But in order to live in blessing, if there's a curse over your life, you must first be redeemed from the curse. You must be delivered. Now, through the death of Jesus, it's already legally ours. You understand? He's already obtained it for us. What we have to do is move from the legal to the experiential. We have to get it working in our lives. Now, I want to tell you how to do that, all right? The legal base is already there. God doesn't have to do anything more. We have to appropriate what God has done for us. Very often we need to ascertain the cause or the source of the curse. Not always, but very often. And that's why I spent quite a long while going over the various possibilities, because I was trusting the Holy Spirit to speak to many of you and open your eyes, as we prayed at the beginning, that you could see suddenly the reason why you've struggled all your life. You understand? Maybe it'll come by supernatural revelation. Many times it does. Now, I'm not saying you have to know, but in many cases, God wants us to know what we are being delivered from, how it came upon us. If God shows you, then you act on what He shows you. Now, the process of release. The basic pattern is stated in four words which begin with R-E. This just happens to be so. Recognize, repent, renounce, and resist. Recognize your problem and its cause. Repent of anything that ever opened you to it. Renounce the curse. And resist every attempt of Satan to keep you under the curse. Okay? Recognize, repent, renounce, resist. Now, in more detail, specific steps. First of all, establish a clear scriptural basis. I've given you one. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse, having been made a curse for us. There are other scriptures which I'll just mention. Ephesians 1, 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood. Colossians 1, 13 and 14. God has delivered us from the domain of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. 1 John 3, 8. A beautiful short scripture, the second half of the verse. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. And Luke 10, 19, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." That's good news. All right. Now, this is what you need to do. Very simply. Confess your faith in Christ, because He's the high priest of our confession. Commit yourself to obedience, because that's the condition for continuing in blessing. Confess any known sins of yourself or your ancestors. Like my aunt was a fortune teller, or my grandmother was in Christian Science, or my father was a Freemason. Many, many different possibilities. And you have to identify yourself with the sin in your family that brought it upon your family. You understand? You confess it on behalf of your family. Forgive all other persons, and maybe the very person that is the cause of the curse. Because if you don't forgive, unforgiveness is a barrier to the answer to your prayer. Jesus said, when you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anybody. Okay? That leaves out nothing and nobody. Remember, forgive.